Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. My name is Cesar Hernandez, and today we're going to talk about the Gold Cup draw. We're talking about Diego Lainez being drawn into the U20 World Cup instead, Porto's difficult battle in the UEFA Champions League, and much, much more. But before we start, let's start with tonight's big question, and here it is. What did you think of the Gold Cup draw for U23, and how confident are you about the national team this summer? So really quickly, that's going to be the group stage for Mexico in the Gold Cup. That's Mexico, Cuba, Martinique, and also Canada. I almost forgot the last one right there in Canada. Let's start with Liga MX English's go-to source for pictures of comida mexicana during her trip south of the border, Cari Torres. Question goes to you. What are your thoughts on the Gold Cup draw?
It's a good intro, Cesar.
Talking about it before we started recording, so.
What do I think about it? Well, I think we got a pretty easy group. I think when it comes to Gold Cup, we're always a favorite, and we weigh heavy versus other teams. It's kind of like an obligation. Whether I think Gold Cup does matter or doesn't matter, we should be in Copa America, which is always going to be the argument until we, you know, get back in it. But I think it should be pretty easy. I think the only team that could give us problems would be Canada. Cuba, we should comfortably win. Martinique, también.
That says so much. We're like, oh, the only team that could potentially give us problems is Canada. It's like, oh, man, that says a lot about the group stage.
I mean, compared to the U.S., I think they have it harder. But, I mean, they haven't had a great run, you know, for a couple of years. So, I mean, I think that's the only team. Other than that, I think it should be a sweet ride to the final. And Mexico's obligated to win. They're obligated. Yeah. They're a favorite 100%. Every single year. It's another medal that Martino could hang on himself, whether fans think it's enough or not. But it's a start because at least it sets the expectations high that, you know, he's here to work and to get the team to win anything, no matter the value of how important it is or least important. Because like I said, some people are like, Gold Cup is nothing, and you know, whatever, if we win it, but then it's like, if we don't win it, we're like really bad. So it's like, we're never happy if we win it or don't win it. But yeah,
I mean, what is there really to say about the Gold Cup draw right there? And also, it wasn't a draw. I still don't know about the exact way that it was set up, because like, I turned into like Univision. I was like, all right, let's watch this draw. I thought they're gonna have someone like Luis Hernandez out there, like, you know, stirring them all up and be like, hey,
Champions League style.
No, yeah, but I just like turn on and immediately they already had the draw set. So I should have looked into that. I guess they already had it set beforehand. I have no idea how they organize that, but nonetheless, yeah, there's no excuses for Mexico. It's not even the kind of thing where you expect them to get three wins. You expect them to dominate every single match. I mean, when the most difficult match is going to be, yeah, against Canada, you know, Mile High Stadium, whether it be Mile High Stadium, whether it be the Rose Bowl, whether it be in Charlotte, like 90% of those fans are going to be out there, are going to be rooting for U23. So, yeah, I mean, it's less to do with the actual group stage itself, and it's more so about the knockout stage. Obviously, that's what matters more in this tournament for U23, because they're expected to breeze through that group stage. I think that, I mean, even if the United States was somehow in their group stage, I don't even know how that would even be possible. Mexico would still expect to be at the very top of that group. So, I guess in essence, what I'm trying to say here is that I'm feeling pretty confident about that at group stage. But of course, it's all about the final results in that tournament. But we were supposed to have Adriana Terrazas also on the show. I heard a rumor that she's still catching up on Game of Thrones, and that she's still somewhere on season 6. So that's why she might, maybe like halfway through the show, she might join us, but we'll see what happens a little bit later on. But really quickly, we do have a response that I saw here on Twitter. R. Jurado, who is at Roman Jury 12, who says about the big question, he says, the tournament seems designed for a Mexico versus USA final, which I expect to happen despite USA's group of death. It's weird to talk about a group of death in the Gold Cup, because I feel like the group of death is actually Group C, but even that group of death seem kind of strange. We need something like group, we need something that's not nearly serious as death. It's like a group of just like a slight cold, or a group of just like a headache, and just like it's not going to kill you, but it's just it's still worrisome nonetheless. I don't see anything else on the chat. I think that's what we had so far on Twitter. But let me check really quickly on the chat to see if anyone said anything about that big question. Louis said happy for the draw. But I guess, I mean, how could you be dissatisfied with any of those opponents that Mexico has? But let's jump into the episode, Gary. Let's start. Obviously, we just started talking about Aldri right there. So once again, Gold Cup group stage was officially set last Wednesday in Los Angeles. Mexico, once again, they got Martinique, Canada, and Cuba. So let me go through the schedule right here. So on June 15th, that's going to be Mexico versus Cuba at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. June 19th, that's going to be Mexico versus Canada at Bronco Stadium in Denver. And then June 23rd, Martinique versus Mexico, and that's going to be at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. So, I mean, let's talk about the Gold Cup, Gary. I mean, as is any other Gold Cup tournament, Mexico will be expected to win it all, and anything less will be seen as a failure, right? Exactly. I think it's as simple as that, right?
Yeah, it's as simple as that. I think, like I told you, it's like whether Mexico does something good or not, I think we're not going to be satisfied until probably we win a World Cup. And after that, everything is like clear, washed out, start from zero. But yeah, I think, you know, we are obligated to win. What I'm thinking is, like, if for any reason we don't win, and I've seen a great Mexico play throughout the whole tournament, I'd be pretty satisfied with that, too.
Really? Okay, so you're saying that, like, say Mexico makes it to the final and narrowly loses to the United States, but if they played well in the entire tournament, you would still feel fairly satisfied about that?
Yeah.
Even though as much as that hurt, maybe not like as soon as the final whistle blows, be like, you know what? That's all right, guys. I guess maybe what you're saying is like maybe like a few weeks down the line, you're looking back at the tournament. You'll be like, all right, you know, that was okay what Mexico did right there.
Yeah, if we played good all the games and, you know, we choked on the last, then maybe because it's Gold Cup, I think I would be more angry if it was Copa America. I'd be like, okay. Oh, my God, because it's more, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like a unbalanced, balanced kind of feeling. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to anybody.
What about if Mexico allows a late game winner from Jamaica in the semifinal of a tournament?
No. No, no, that's not allowed. I think it'd just be interesting because last roster, we were all, you know, like I said, I'm never happy with the roster. That was the last roster until this roster for Gold Cup. So I'm really interested to see what players make it and what, you know, which ones don't. I think Martino clarified the whole Tecatito thing because I think all of us were saying like, oh, what, he's not going to show up anymore. And obviously we know the situation with Chicharito. His Chicharitito is going to be born around there.
Chicharito. Like how many itos do you, yeah.
And it's probably two.
Yeah.
And then the whole Carlos Vela thing. So I think I'm interested in seeing what kind of players, are going to be called up for that. And I don't know. I mean, it's fresh. It's a fresh new era. At least I want to see them playing good instead of not playing well. And, you know,
Well, one player that we won't be seeing in the tournament, that's Diego Lainez. I know there are a lot of fans who would be very disappointed about that. So Tata Martino did clarify recently. I think it was actually after the group stage draw or the group stage was set in Los Angeles. He did clarify to reporters that Lainez will be going to the U-20 World Cup instead of the Gold Cup. Personally, I mean, I guess I feel like it's 50-50 on this situation. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are a lot of fans who justifiably feel that Lainez is ready for the first team, that he's ready for, you know, a key role for the senior national side. At the same time, and I think I agree with this, I'm also interested to see how well he does in U-20 tournament, because especially, I mean, I don't know. I think the U-20 World Cup, if Mexico makes it to the knockout stage of that tournament, if they do well and make a good run, I don't know, maybe him getting minutes in that would be better than him getting a starting role against Martinique, you know? Like, it's just like, maybe in the, even though it seems like it's more significant for him to be playing with the senior national team, nonetheless, maybe the competition is going to be exactly that fierce for him until potentially the semifinal, the final round. So I can still see both sides, but personally for me, I'm more excited to be seeing him at the U-20 World Cup, seeing potentially do well in that tournament. And also, I mean, I also like the idea of him getting a little bit more of a full preseason with Real Betis, even though this means that he's not going to be getting much playing time at the end of the season, if that impacts that, I mean, I guess that's potentially a negative impact right there. But at the same time, I mean, he wasn't even the game day roster in the last game. So, yeah. I mean, who knows if, even if he went to the Gold Cup, if he was even to get any minutes at the end of the season. So I prefer him to go to the U-20 World Cup, and I hope he does well. And I do hope that he goes up against some strong competition, because at this U-20 World Cup, obviously there's a, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, Mexico wasn't the only national team, or doesn't have the only youth national team where it's difficult to transition that youth to the senior national team. Sometimes you'll see, I don't know, maybe the equivalent of like a German, or like equivalent of like a, I don't know, like a, and I'm just like a Spanish, like Chaton Enriquez, you know, do very well in the term, and then they just end up doing nothing at the senior level. So yeah. I don't know. I think long story short, what I'm saying here is I'm excited to be seeing him at the U-20 World Cup, but at the same time, I can see why some fans will be a little bothered they won't get to see him with the national team, the senior national team this summer.
Yeah, I think maybe because I have Linus set on like this high standard, like anything, any tournament he should be on, you know, Gold Cup, oh yeah, put him on there. Like, he can do anything. Yeah. He's fearless. He's already achieved going to Real Betis at this young age. It just sets the bar high to his potential in a couple of years. But I think this decision was the best. I think I agree with you. He'll get more out of the U-20 just because if you look at the opponents he's facing in Gold Cup versus in 20, I mean, it's just like water and oil, literally. Like, yeah. Instead of facing like Cuba, Canada, and Martinique, it's facing Japan, Italy, Ecuador. It's just like he's just going to get more, you know, playing against them than playing against Cuba, Canada, and Martinique.
Now I'm looking up to see if Cuba, Canada, Martinique are invited to the U-20 World Cup, because that'd be kind of funny if they end up, it's like Mexico's U-20, it's just like Canada's U-20. It's like, wait a second, what's going on here?
look it up. But yeah, I think it was just the best decision. He'll definitely get a starting role every single game. I definitely think he'll, you know, if he would have gone to Gold Cup, he would get like a start on a game or so, maybe get subbed in. But I think we would have want him to, you know, maybe if we would have seen that, we're like, man, why he should have just went to the U-20. What got a starting role, playing, getting minutes, you know, being the star of the show. Why not? So I think it was good. It was good. I hope he does well. He deserves to do well. I think it's just another stepping stone for him to set the bar high. And, you know, he's our young Mexican talent. So might as well have brought him more than he already is already.
Yeah. So Mexico's opponents at the U-20 World Cup, that's going to be in late May. So on May 23rd, it's going to be Mexico versus Italy. May 26th, it's going to be Mexico versus Japan. And on May 29th, that's going to be Mexico versus Ecuador. So yeah, that's actually pretty interesting, especially actually Italy. That'll be fascinating to see how that goes right there. So I don't know. So yeah, so I think that, I think, not saying that confirms it, like, well, there you go. That's how it's going to be much better for his, for his experience, for his development to do that. But it'd also be pretty cool to see someone like that take on a leadership role. I think he clearly has a potential to be the captain of that side. Maybe someone like him, maybe even be someone like Jonathan Gonzalez as well, that could potentially be the captain for that side. But I think that'd be very, very good for him, because that could give him a lot of confidence heading into the preseason too. Maybe even more confidence than him, I don't know, getting the occasional start for Mexico. I'm not even saying the occasional start, maybe just like the occasional minutes in the Gold Cup, because he has a lot of competition. No matter how, I mean, he's an incredible player, but I think it could, and he has more potential than arguably most of the players on that national team, other than maybe Lozano. But is he going to get more minutes than Lozano? Is he going to get more minutes than Tecatito? Is he going to get more minutes than Vela? I mean, assuming that Tecatito and Vela go. Yeah, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. So I think I'm still on the team, and I'm still on the idea of him going to the U-20 World Cup instead.
And I think that's what's great about it, because there's actual competition. Imagine if there wasn't, and we'd have to depend on like, oh my God, please, Linus, go to Gold Cup. We need you. You know, it's kind of like, well, he's still young. He can take the U-20 tournament and dominate it while we still have competition in the Selección Mayor and have many options. So I think that's a good aspect of it. You know, there's still competition. Like, obviously we want to, you know, like I went to go see Linus, what was it, the Mexico versus Uruguay game. And the way he played on the field was just like, oh my God, like this kid is like so fearless on the, you know, field. It's just amazing. So I'm glad Mexico is starting to have competition between positions, because that means anybody can come and go, you know, so we don't have to depend on any player.
It's still so frustrating just to think of like me getting older and like me slowing down during my jogs and look at Linus and be like, I can't, like, I don't know, back when I was like his age, like I was just like, I don't know, I was getting like B's and C's at like university and just like sleeping in and just like being a terrible student. And he's like, I don't know, I'm so envious of players like him.
Yeah.
I'm so envious of players like him who actually do well in soccer, as opposed to me. Like, the reason why I write about soccer is because I wasn't very good at soccer. So really quickly on the Gold Cup, Gatti, just speaking as a Mexico fan, and before we move on to the Mexicans abroad, I mean, just how excited are you for the Gold Cup tournament? Because sometimes I feel like it's a little hit and miss. Sometimes you're like, well, I don't know, it's CONCACAF. Mexico is expected to win it all. At the same time, sometimes Mexico sends out like a little bit of a B squad. But how genuinely excited are you for this tournament this summer?
On a scale like 1 to 10?
Yeah, on a scale of Picolín to Diego Linus.
I'm going to say... Go ahead. Oh,
no, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I don't know what player would be in the middle of that. I mean,
Luis Montes.
No, he's high right now. He's on my hype train. What are you talking about? Genuinely, maybe a 7, a 6. I mean,
okay.
I'm excited for soccer all year round, especially in the summer. I mean, we always look forward to all these tournaments in the summer.
What about the Copa Mekis group stage? Are you excited about that? I'm not. I'm actually criticize the Copa Mekis a little too much. I don't know. That's definitely.
You're not the only one. You're not the only one. And I'm like, Copa Mekis, come on, there's more competition there. There's the Central team that Central teams that knock out. It's Mexico. Obviously, we're all going to be supporting them. I can say right now, you know what? I'm not really excited, but I'll be watching the game. Why? Because it's Mexico, and I want Mexico to do well. I mean, I'm not as excited as I should be.
Okay,
but 7.
I'm a 9. I'm a 9, really? Right there. So I guess what player would that be right there? A 9. I think that would be. Let's see. A wiki right there. That's a wiki.
Just retired.
No, actually, I know. Yeah, I know he just retired.
I thought he retired like a while ago until the news came out. I was like, really? Barely now? I'm like, oh, okay.
To be honest, exactly the same. I thought he was retired for a little bit as well. I was like, oh, he's still playing? I didn't know that. But no, actually, just because it's going to be Tata's first tournament, just because it's going to be, you know, the strongest roster that Mexico can have. And I fully anticipate Mexico dominating the tournament and lifting the title. And I think that'll be so, so very, and I know Mexico has done that traditionally. I know that happens all the time, but I think that's so important in a transitional point of the Mexican national team. I think that's so important at the beginning of a new World Cup cycle to kind of like build up that World Cup cycle, with that kind of confidence. To be honest, I mean, I know that sometimes it's not that exciting to see Mexico get like a 7-0 win against Martinique, but if you're introducing new players, if it seems like there's more competition as well, because I think that's something that fascinates me as well for this Gold Cup. And I'm wondering what we're gonna be seeing in this roster, because Pizarro, for me, he was one of the standout players in the international break. Jonathan Dos Santos, I thought he was fantastic as well. When I think of some of the best players that stood out to me for international break, it isn't Raul Jimenez, it isn't Irving Lozano, it's not a Chicharito did very well. Chicharito was actually, I would say he was a very, very good player in the international break, but he wasn't the very best for me. I mean, once again, I think of someone like Edson Álvarez. Edson Álvarez was an incredible player for me. So I think that's what I'm really excited to see in this new World Cup cycle, in this new era under Tata, to see which fringe options, which players who aren't exactly marquee players, which, you know, because everyone shows up to see the Ochoas. Everyone always shows up to see the Chicharitos, but maybe we'll see a good tournament from Pizarro. Maybe we'll see an excellent tournament from Edson Álvarez. I know that's what I'm really, really hyped for this.
Yeah.
And a lot of these players represent the next generation of talent too. Jonathan Dos Santos, maybe not so much. He's a little bit older, but I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I think when you put, you know, to see the players, oh yeah, I think I was referring to all in all the tournament I'm not really excited about, but yeah, definitely the starting form of Mexico is exciting. And I think I agree with you. I think Pizarro to me definitely stood out. And I think I really argued why he should have been in World Cup. And I see that many people now see why, you know, the way he holds the ball, the way it's hard to take the ball away from him, the way he just moves around the field. I mean, he's a great player despite, you know, Monterrey buying him, we're all thinking he should have exported to Europe. But yeah, I agree. I mean, even Charlie from Monterrey, I mean, this youngster to me
was like,
you know, he was kind of like a low key player, but he did really well. So yeah, I think definitely, you know, cause we're not surprised by a Chucky. Why? Cause we see him score every single weekend. We know the potential he has. Mm-hmm. We know, you know, all these other players, but like, yeah, definitely the new upcoming players excite. That's why the roster, I'm curious what players he'll keep, what players he'll drop. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, I mean, all in all, Mexico has tiene la obligación de ganar. They have to win.
Yeah.
They win or they go home. Like, that's it.
I mean, well, if they win, they go home too, you know, if you think about it. They can't stay there. They can't stay in Chicago. I mean, it's a great city. I love it.
They can't stay there.
The pizza is delicious. There's much more in the pizza too, you know.
Yeah.
I love Chicago, but sorry, Mikkel. If you win, you got to go home too. Just letting you know. Despite what Patty's saying.
Exactly. Or they go home winners.
If we
live Mexico, U.S., like we did a couple years ago with Gio's goal, I mean, I'm so stoked about that. If we live a final like that, that'd be awesome. But yeah.
You heard it here. Kari said that Gio's going to get the call up and that he's going to score that same exact goal.
Right. Oh, my God. Don't say it.
Fascinating prediction from Kari.
I mean, that's a memorable. If you tell me Gio Dos Santos, I'm telling you, goal against U.S. final. That's the most memorable goal that I will have in my mind that I repeat every single day when I think about it. But
I don't know if I already have done it because I've written so many articles already, but I might have already written an article just specifically on that already. That just what a goal.
Yeah.
But anywho, really quickly on the chat, Ivan Pineda from the Eagle Eye podcast, he actually joined me for one of the last Xolos game. He was hanging out with me in the press box. Yeah, we're having a good time. I showed him around. I took him to a local taqueria that I like, but he said so out of 10, he went with a 2.8. for the Gold Cup. Louis on the chat said, really, Ivan? Gotta go with a solid 7. It's interesting. Interesting right there from the chat. All right, let's move on to the Mexicans abroad. And specifically, let's talk about Porto. Champions League quarterfinals. It's the only team left that has Mexican representation in the UEFA Champions League. And unfortunately, Liverpool got a 2-0 win over Porto in the first leg, and it was definitely a convincing win. I think Porto had chances themselves. I think Marega was having an off game up top. He had some chances that he could have potentially gotten a game. I would say game winner, but at least gotten a goal there that they could have carried over to the second leg. But of course, the second leg, it's going to be this Wednesday. Hector Herrera, he's going to be back after being suspended from the first match. And Kata, do you think Porto is capable of pulling up a surprise victory that can carry them? Because it's not only just a victory, but a result that can still carry them to the semis after that 2-0 the first leg.
It's what I like about Champions. Like, anything can happen. You can never underestimate any team. We've seen it happen. Look what happened at Real Madrid. And, you know, they're doing the same thing with Juve. It's just like any team can surprise. That's what Champions League is all about. You can't underestimate any team, especially, I always say this, a 2-0, it's never a guarantee. They can make the comeback and it's like a game reset all over again. So especially, you know, Hector Herrera coming back, it's just adding more depth into the midfield. So it's definitely another man that we know what he's capable of doing. So it's going to be tough. I mean, Liverpool has come up a good run.
I've heard of them. They play where? They play in Spain, Italy? It's like it's a young up and coming team, right? They're all right, yeah.
They're all right. Yeah. They're getting their name out, you know, little by little. But I think Porto is capable of doing it. We'll see. I mean, it's just those things you can't really predict until the game's on and maybe anything can happen. So I think they can do a remontada. I do believe so. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. What do you think?
I just want to see Tecatito unleashed. Just because, like, when you watch that game, and, like, I sent out a tweet saying, like, oh, my God, because he wasn't available for the game, that meant that they had to kind of, like, mix up the back line, and that potentially Tecatito could have been played as a right back. He didn't actually start as a right back, but in that actual match, he moved into almost like a wing back role. And sometimes they almost played with like a back line of five. And you could see Tecatito had to step back. You can see that he played almost a more defensive role at times. And I think that yeah, I think he did a decent job. I was actually pretty impressed. You know, having to be for a player who's like my height, you know, who's like,
yeah,
what, like 5'7", 5'5", 5'9"? I think he's pretty close to my height. For someone like that to be playing as like essentially as a fullback for half the game against Liverpool in a Champions League match, I thought he did all right, to be perfectly honest. At the same time, we know that's not Tecatito at his best. That is not Tecatito at the top of his capabilities. Tecatito at his best is just an out-and-out winger who's just going to be taking risks and who's just a wild card going forward. So that's what I'm excited for, and I really do hope that we see that on Wednesday. I assume that's what we're going to see on Wednesday, and especially when you have someone like Herrera back in the starting 11, who is a box-to-box midfielder for Porto, who can really take control and add a little bit more defensive confidence with his presence, and also with his aerial duels, too. Like, I think he's pretty good in the air, too, so I'm excited for that. I'm still going to say that Liverpool gets they go through to the semis. I think it's I don't know. I'm going to say if we're going to go with some percentages here, I'm going to say percentage like the chance that Porto makes it into the semifinal round, I'm going to go with a 20%.
Whoa. I was thinking more like 40, but
40 double. I'm guessing. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
it's,
I mean,
Champions League. So Saturday, it's
Champions League, but it's also Liverpool, and like some of those EPL teams have been incredible. I mean, you just see what Liverpool's been doing, and like just the depth of that squad has. I mean, I'm no EPL expert, but just like from what I've seen so far this season, I do not have much. Maybe if I would feel much more confident if Porto would have gotten a away goal. I would feel much more confident if that would have happened. They were close. It almost happened, but I think with a 2-0 result, and like, I guess it's more so, I wouldn't be surprised if Porto were to get a win, but I would be more shocked if Porto were to hold them scoreless, were to hold Liverpool scoreless. Because I think maybe even something like a 2-1 win is a realistic scoreline right there for Porto, but at the same time, just like allowing that away goal after they didn't get one themselves in Liverpool. I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for them. I really, really do think it's going to be tough for them. So I'm going with 20%, and that might even be a little too nice, to be honest. I mean, it's just to see what 538 says. The 538, they do all their predictions and whatnot, but I'm going with the 20% chance. I don't know.
Dang, Cesar. I'm still sticking to a 40. I think, like I said, it's Champions League. I think Porto's target is just to get an early goal to set confidence. And after that, it's just moving forward. And, you know, Herrera's back. You know, we know Tecatito's wild side. I think anything's possible. So it'll be interesting. Liverpool definitely has great players. But we'll see. Maybe Mane doesn't do good. Salah doesn't do good either. It's just like game by game when it comes to Champions League. When Real Madrid lost against Shakhtar 04, but we still made it to we still passed to octavos, I was just like, oh my God, like I don't want to live this again. So
when Katie says we, she's not including me, by the way.
No, me and Real Madrid. There you go. but yeah, so I'm hoping Porto advances. They will. I'm setting it. Porto advances tomorrow.
Okay. I hope so. I mean, on Wednesday. They're playing tomorrow. That'd be really weird if they were to play tomorrow. They can't play on Tuesday and Wednesday. That'd be unheard of.
Yeah.
On the chat, JP Santoyo says, why do you hate Porto so much, Cesar? I don't hate them. Actually, sometimes like when your friends are like, hey, do you want to play FIFA? You're like, yeah, all right, cool. Like, what star? I'm like, 4.5 star team. I'm like, all right, who do I choose here? I'm like, oh, okay, cool, Porto. I'm gonna stick with Porto. I actually like Porto. I almost bought that one cool away jersey that they had. I don't know if it was an away or alternate one where they had, it was kind of like the night sky kind of situation where they had like some like random like dots. I like Porto because of the number of Mexican players that they've had there in recent years. I mean, we also have to talk about Diego Reyes. We also talk about Miguel Layún. At the same time, I'm just not confident that they can do something against Liverpool. And honestly, I 100% hope that I'm wrong. I 100% hope that they do well, but I fully anticipate that they're going to lose against I think they're going to lose this week too. I think so overall, I think they're going to lose like potentially 2-1 this Wednesday if we're going to go with the scoreline prediction. I know, Gatti, really quickly before we move on, what's your scoreline prediction for this Wednesday? I'm going to say Porto loses 2-1, and I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do hope I'm wrong.
I'm just going to go against you. Porto wins 3-1.
3-1. Wait, so that means...
That means they tie and...
No, but then they have the... But then Liverpool have the away goal. So there you go.
Okay. Okay, never mind. Never mind. You know what? Porto wins tomorrow, there goes your Liverpool advances.
There goes your 40% right there.
There goes my 40%. Yeah, Michael was right. For Porto, 40% to win the game, 15% chance to advance. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So a quick update on some of the more noteworthy news from the matches featuring Mexicans in Europe. So Chucky Lozano and PSV, they gained a 2-1 win at home on Sunday. No goal or assist from Chucky, but he did win a penalty. Sevilla defeated Real Betis 3-2 on Saturday. Guardado played the full 90, but Linus was left off the game day roster. I don't know, maybe just already sent him to train with the U-20s, you know? Just might as well if he's be getting playing time at the full side. But
exactly.
In Belgium, Omar Govea, if you guys remember him, he got an assist in a 2-1 win for Royal Antwerp. And like Ochoa with Standard Liège, they are currently both fighting for UEFA Champions League and Europa League spots in that second round of the regular season. Explaining the second round of the regular season is a podcast in itself. Just go on the Wikipedia page. You'll figure it out. Just like click around the Belgian first division. But all that matters is that they're still in the running for a Champions League and a Europa League spots. Speaking of Porto, they got a 3-0 win on Saturday. Herrera, maybe foreshadowing what's going to be happening this week, he got a goal. West Ham, they lost 2-1 to Manchester United, but Chicharito was given a standing ovation from Manchester United fans. It was cool. It almost made me cry. I'm just kidding. Wait, maybe I'm not kidding. And then Wolves and Raul Jimenez, they lost 3-1 to South.
Yeah, that was Hampton. A bad game. That was
I didn't
just,
watch
like,
it. Cool. What were your thoughts? I didn't get a chance to watch that one.
I mean, I watched on and off because we were flipping channels. This is when I was in Torreon on Saturday. But it was just like another goal and another goal. It was just not a good game. I can't really talk about the whole game, but just some mm-hmm. of the goals, I was just like, wow. But hey, it's EPL. Anything can happen. Especially, I mean, Wolves have had a great run. But, you know, as long as Otto Jimenez plays every game and gets goals, that's all I'm excited about.
Yeah, no, likewise. There's something strange about Wolves, and like, I don't know, I've watched a decent amount of their games. They just like, they struggle against those like weaker sides. I think it's something, maybe it's something to do with the tactics where like Wolves are like more content against a side like a Manchester United or a Chelsea that they can just like counter against. But then if it's like a weaker side, they're given the ball and they're like, all right, well, we can't counter when they're giving us the possession right here. Yeah. So I wonder, I don't know if that's what happened in that game. But I feel like for most games that I've seen, though, like they're surprisingly bad against the worst teams, just because they don't know how to counter against those teams. But against the big teams, they're
big
like cool,
teams.
They're like cool. We're gonna hit you with pace, and Raul Jimenez is gonna provide a goal or an assist in this match. I don't know if that's what happened, but it's just so strange how they struggle against those weaker sides. I assume Southampton, like I don't know where they are in the EPL table, but obviously they're not at the top of the table.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
All right, so let's move on to Liga MX, and we have to start with Veracruz. Just a disaster that's Veracruz right now. So really quickly, let me give you a little bit of a rundown here. They lost 9-2 against Pachuca. They parted ways with their manager, and now all of their points have been taken away after FIFA stepped in. This is a FIFA's disciplinary committee stepped in, and after some consultation between them and Liga MX, Liga MX has deducted all of their points from Veracruz. I mean, Caddy, I mean, whether it be on the field, whether it be off the field, I mean, your thoughts on Veracruz is just like, it's a complete disaster right now.
I was watching that game and it was brutal to watch because obviously, I was like, Veracruz is going to lose. Pachuca have all these great players. They have, especially in counterattack, they're deadly. But it just set the tone of how realistic Veracruz is. Like, they're really bad. And I think the only player that I salvage is Jurado, because he can only do so much.
Jurado, wait, he's the only player. He allowed 9 goals.
He can only do so much. So I said he can only do so much. The defense, they're giving all the Pachuca players all the space. It was just like they weren't even trying. It was just like a ridiculous game to watch. And, you know, you just kept hearing goal and goal and goal. Can you imagine how traumatizing it was for the Veracruz? I think they, Palermo even said that the Veracruz players were like, can you stop scoring on us? Like, it's just like humiliating, you know? And it was just, you know, I think Veracruz paints a perfect situation for Club de Cuervos. You know, Fidel Curry came out saying like, oh yeah, just like I'm doing, you know, cleaning house in Veracruz, they should do it up, you know, up with La Comisionaria, you know, whatever. But, and then after that game,
was he like a minute or two away from saying that he's draining the swamp?
Probably. and then Siboldi turned in his like, hey, you know, I'm done. And Veracruz was like, no. And now it's official. Siboldi is no longer coaching them. So it's just a disaster. I think it's a perfect Club de Cuervos scenario. And you think, where's this team going to go? Fidel Curi says, yes, he's going to pay the 120. And then before he was like, you know, planning on selling it. But as long as the team stayed there.
Sorry to cut in really quickly. Some people who may not be well versed. Oh, and you just said the 120. Like, explain to them the 120 situation that you were talking about. I assume you mean for them staying up in the first division.
Yeah. 120 million, was it dollars? Yeah, right? Or pesos?
No, that's not $1 million. That'd be crazy. I don't think any League of Vikings team is like, whoa, we're moving to the Ascenso. $120 million? No, man. That's like what Paul Pogba is probably like going to go for when he goes like pesos. When he leaves like Manchester. Yeah, probably. I assume it's pesos.
Yeah. Carlos says pesos. My bad. But yeah, Veracruz is just in a they're in a hole, and you know who said someone said oh Ivan said no, Jurado's not the only player to rescue here. Come on, Jurado can only do so much. After that, you
Colin Kazim Richards, he got the goal, right? He scored at some point.
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah, it's just a poor situation. You just don't know what's going to happen to this team. So yeah,
it's interesting because obviously I'm a big fan of Liga MX. Obviously, I mean I cover it for a living. There are certain things that really, really excite you about the league. When you watch Monterrey and Tigres, you're like, cool. Like, you know, I mean, obviously, I think there's so much more improvements that could be made off the field. And I always complain about those things. Obviously, I'm always tweeting out with hashtag Liga MX English, always complaining about teams providing more content for the American fan base. But whether they think that's important or not is a different category. But on the field, you see the money that Monterrey and Tigres are spending. You're like, that's. I mean, it's incredible. You look at those two sides and you're like, these teams are arguably the best teams in the Western Hemisphere. And you do wish, you're like, wow, if Libertadores still existed, could those two sides potentially be in a final Libertadores? And I know that sounds crazy to say that, but just like when you see how talented they're just like, wow, you're so impressed with that. And I think that there's certain things with Liga MX when you see a team like that, even to an extent, I don't know, Club America, they still do fairly well, and you see what some of those signings and players that they bring in. It's still a very impressive team. You still see, I don't know, the academy products that you see from Pachuca and Santos, and you just say, clearly, this is some of the best that you see in North America. And then, as proud as you are about Liga MX, then you look at the bottom, then you look at Veracruz, and you're just like, man, a team like this is really still dragging the league behind, you know. Yeah. It's really, really unfortunate to see what's happening to the team, and I can only imagine how frustrating it must be for fans of Veracruz, you know, because as we've talked about on this show, and I've talked about, I mean, like my good friend Francisco Velasco from the Scholes podcast, he's, you know, he watches Veracruz like fairly regularly, you know. In theory, like, this is supposed to, they could potentially be a big team. They're in a nice city. You know, they could potentially have, and they've got a little bit of history there too. It's not like this is a team that recently, you know, popped up. You know, this is a team that had, what was their last title? What, like 1950 something? But
yeah.
This is a team that actually does have history in Mexican soccer. And it's just so unfortunate to see just how depressing it is. It's really, it's genuinely depressing to see Veracruz. Everything on and off the field, the owner, the team, is just, it's a complete disaster. And it's so unfortunate because I feel like it almost brings Liga MX a step back, to be perfectly honest. I don't know. So it's just, I don't know. It's as exciting as it was to see that those six goals in the first half that Pachuca scored against them. It's still, I don't know, it's a mess. It's just a mess for that team right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's reality. How poorly Veracruz is, and I think after knowing, you know, officially they're relegating, you know, it's like, what are they going to play for? So defensively was awful. It just left all this space and it was ridiculous. And, you know, just get to show you, maybe Curi needs to leave. There needs to be a lot of restructuring. There needs to be, you know, I don't think they still owe players money from like months behind. It's kind of like, why are you going to want to go to a team like that? You know, you're going to be set up to, you know, not getting paid on time. You're going to set up to, you know, sign a contract and then get relegated. And if they don't pay, and I don't know, there's just so much restructuring that needs to happen that if, is it possible? Yeah. But while we still have Curi on there, while there's still, you know, the shady stuff going on behind the scenes, it's kind of like, you know, it's going to be slow, but it has to, something has to be done.
And especially because it's not like, I don't know, like if a player once gets like, I think the bread and butter of Liga MX is bringing in that South American talent. And you see that in Major League Soccer as well. That's becoming more of the bread and butter of that league. And if you're some of that South American talent, if you're just like, cool, I want to go up north, maybe go to Mexico, maybe go to the United States. If you're looking at your different options and you see this news about Veracruz, like, why would you want to join?
Exactly.
Ever? Why? And now, like, and once again, I am still going to, like, I know I beat the drum about Major League Soccer all the time. I think that it is improving, but obviously Liga MX is still better. But I mean, who knows? Like, if you're playing at Argentina and you're like, cool, I have an option to go to Liga MX, but the option is Veracruz, or I could potentially join some random MLS team. Well, at least I know that in Major League Soccer, I'll be getting paid in comparison to this side of it. So it's so detrimental to Liga MX to have this happen. I don't know. It's just, it's really, really, and it's nothing new. And it's not like this is all of this, this bad reform, all this bad news for Veracruz that we've been seeing over the last couple of weeks. Like, any of this is surprising. None of this is surprising. I'm not shocked by some of the comments from Goldie. I'm not shocked by some of this news. It's almost expected at this point, you know, as like from a team like Veracruz. So hopefully they bounce back, but it's just a complete mess. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens at the end of the season too, whether they pay that. I was just, because I don't even know what to call it, a fine, a fee, an entrance fee.
I'm telling you, they're the perfect team for to describe Club de Cuervos. So, I mean, he said he'll pay the fee. So, I mean, will they sell Jurado? A lot of teams are wanting him. Yeah. Cruzul wants him. Pumas was looking for a goalie. I mean, they're going to have to do a lot of work to get this team at least back to a decent place. I'm not saying next season qualify to La Liguilla, but at least have a decent squad where they won't get beat up badly. Like this 9-2, that's haunting. We're always going to remember that. Like, remember the 9-2? Oh yeah, Pachuca versus Veracruz, you know?
You're like, what a mess of a team. But, all right, so let's move on. Got it. And good news for you. You're wearing a jersey of a certain team, which seemed to be doing all right in Liga MX right now. León, they beat Puebla 3-0 over the weekend. It's not only a 3-0 win, but 3-0 away win. 11th straight win. That's a Liga MX record. I mean, just take it away. What are your thoughts on León right now? I mean, just an incredible run of form right now.
11 consecutive wins. No one has ever done this. I want that clear because everybody's talking about Monterrey, Tigres, America, León, guys. León has been doing this. 11 consecutive wins. I mean, they tied against the both Regio teams. Yes, Cesar, we lost against your Xolos, but that was a very unlucky
game. It's not my Xolos. I cover Xolos. It's not my Xolos. Okay. I cover Xolos.
Okay.
The only team I root for is... Is that one over there? That's the only team I root for. Yeah.
Okay, your team that you cover says that was a very lucky game. But other than that, this team is dominating. They're first on the table.
Dominating might even be an understatement.
I mean, if I see something else, I'm probably going to get rained on because everybody's hating. But, I mean, it's just stating the facts. León has been playing beautifully. No one can take that away from them. Yes, because they're in first place. I think that's always the assumption, you know, first place, they're not going to win. Why not? Why not admire the football that they're creating? Because whether people like it or not, they play better than America. They play better than Cruz Azul. They play better than Tigres. If you wanted to watch a Tigres or a Tigres match or a León match right now, who would you watch? A León, because you're guaranteed excitement. You're guaranteed goals. Tigres sits back. It's just like Tigres always plays like that.
Although I will say that sometimes... and I've said this before this season, sometimes Tigres are the most boring team to watch Liga MX. I'm just going to say that sometimes I'm just like, it's just not fun for me to watch. Unless if a team scores against them, then I'm like, all right, turning on the Tigres game, let's see how they bounce back. But yeah, sometimes it's going to be a little boring. But sorry, continue.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. But it's just stating facts. The Angel Mena, great. I mean, he's just an angel. I keep saying this. He's just an angel to us. 13 goals and 7, 9, 8, 9 is, I lose count. You see?
Yeah,
he's just so great. What's been working well? They have a defined style of play. They're very attack minded. I think I underestimated him, but because I'm like, he's very defensive. Like, what are we going to do? We don't need this. But no, he's really turned it around and been really consistent with the lineup, because the lineup, it just helps a lot. I mean, when Sambuesa left, you know, injured, I was like, crap, what are we going to do? Oh, Mena stepped in. After that, it's been dominant. Pedro Aquino injured, which he's recovering straight back in like 2-3 weeks. Ivan Rodriguez took over, and he's been one great of a player that's been, you know, holding the midfield with Luis Montes. And I think Luis Montes has had a really great role this season. I think for his age, people would underestimate him, but he's just been phenomenal. And Meneses came, you know, half of last season, and I didn't like him, but I think giving him the time and his effectivity on the wing, and you know, Joel Campbell, I really underestimated Joel Campbell too, because I was like, what is this? What is he going to do with us?
Yeah.
I mean, he completely, you know, did me wrong on that, but they had just have so much depth. And I think, you know, moving forward, you have a Tecillo, you have a Navarrito that
I was going to say really quickly, sorry to cut you off, but I feel like that's something that hasn't really been talked about enough. Obviously, I mean, we all get hyped about Angel Mena, what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, Jose Juan Macias, what he's done. Joel Campbell, who got a goal over the weekend, didn't he?
He
got a goal over the weekend. You have someone like Luis Montes, who's just been such a reliable figure for them. And he also had a very good game, if I remember correctly, in that game against Puebla. But I feel like one thing that's overlooked is just how impressive that back line has been, how impressive Cota has been as well. You know, the Seal, who has been very good, although he didn't start. What was the reason why he didn't start, right?
He got suspended last game.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
So Dylan Zuniga started for him, and then he came out, and they kind of restricted the defensive line. But you know, when Tecillo is playing with Navarrito, when they counterattack, it's just they all push forward, and you have so much options. And Leon just has the same style of play game by game. You know, they put it down the wings. It's always a cross, always a center. There's always someone first post, second post. I mean, I think this team has very great individuals that just have chemistry. They read each other very well. And I think they're just great. I mean, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm a Leon fan, obviously. And I'm going to be like, yeah, they're going to win. You know, they're a contender. But realistically, they are a contender. And I think...
You're going to say in a two-legged series... Mm-hmm. I think at this point in the season, if we're gonna make some predictions, I think someone like Leon is more than likely gonna run into a Monterrey or Tigres at not even the final, semifinals. I think more than likely potentially run into one of those ones. If it's a semifinal against Monterrey or Tigres, would you say that you are confident that Leon would get a win over them?
Yes.
Really? Over two legs?
Yes.
Over two legs. Okay.
Yes, I am. This is how confident I am.
I mean, once again, you are a fan. I think it's important to note you are a fan. I don't think that's
And that's fine, Sissette. That's totally fine. Because I think everybody doesn't think that, too. But, you know, we see, for example, you know, we're going to talk about CCL in a bit. But Monterrey, they won against Kansas City. They lost against Toluca. And then they won. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, anything can happen. And I think Leon has been so consistent that they can measure up to anybody. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not, you know, I think, yeah, definitely, you know, I hear this. Yeah. Right now, Leon's dominating their first place, but wait till you get to Liguilla and we can change. Definitely. Hands down. Liguilla, it's also a test. The strongest can become the weakest. The dark horses can become the kings, whatever. But you can't take away how Leon has been playing. It's not luck. It's hard work. It's, you know, effectiveness, game by game. All these players, you know, putting their all. It's just, you know, in now Sambuesa's back. When Sambuesa was back, I was like, oh my God, who are we going to take out? You know, and then
because he had that injury in mid-January.
Yeah.
And I remember being very worried about that because obviously Leon, they obviously lost their key striker over the winter, and then you had Sambuesa, Because you're like, all right, so you, not only did Boselli leave over the winter, now you have an injury for Sambuesa. How are they ever going to score any goals? Guess what? They have, what, like 30-something now? I think that's like 33 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane. And I think selling Boselli was the best option. I think at the time, I didn't think so because I was like, what are we going to do with that Boselli? And ended up being the best decision ever. JJ has just offered so much. He's filled his shoes very, very great. He has just a great connection with Campbell, with Mena. It's just, you know, and now thinking of it, because JJ probably will be called up to the U20. And I saw something about they were trying to figure something out if they could at least keep JJ to quarterfinals of La Liga, and, you know, at least being until then. And then that kind of worries me. And I'm like, okay, so JJ leaves. Okay, so who could we put as a nine, or, you know, some West I can start. So, I mean, I'm just confident in the way they're playing. Obviously, yeah, like I said, Liga, anything can happen, but I think we can take away how great they've been playing. And I will say this, and I'll repeat this again. They have been playing better than America, than Tigres, than Cruz Azul, than Monterrey, hands down.
But they still don't have an official website just yet.
Cesar, I was hating on your tweet when I saw that. I was like,
I know,
it had to be someone. It had to be
sometimes. Cesar. Sometimes you just gotta push some people's buttons, you know. So you gotta be careful. So you don't want to be a complete jerk. You always have to recognize how well the teams, you know, do on the field. But sometimes you're like, oh, is this gonna? This is maybe going to push some buttons online. I do that every now and then with some MLS Liga MX stuff. I like both MLS and Liga MX stuff, but sometimes we're like, let's get some Liga MX fans riled here, and let's say something about Major League Soccer.
Yeah, you definitely hit that. But you know what? This is my response. If any of you guys want to know anything about León, you should follow me and follow at Fiera Nation, which is another León account in English. Also, Club León English has been tweeting also straight from the Club León. So there is sources out there. I'm sorry we don't have an official webpage yet. If only I won the lottery, I can make a call and be like, hey, let's get this going, because this side is gonna tweet about it until it's done, you know.
I was talking to Landon about it. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I genuinely talked to Landon about that. He was like, I think he was saying something along like, it's like, yeah, they don't even have a marketing department or something like that. Like in León, it was just like a marketing or a sales team. It was one of those. I forget exactly his exact wording. But I think he was just like, yeah, you know, if you live in the city, you know about León. why would they hire a marketing or sales team? But like, no, but obviously what's happening on the field is obviously like what's most important, not the dumb things that I look at sometimes that are off the field. But seriously, León, start a website. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know what's holding them back. They're going to have one of the best stadiums. Hopefully by then they'll have a great functioning website. But yeah, León's is invincible. So whoever wants to fight me about it, let's do it. But León is a strong contender. Fight.
I'll lose. So. I will definitely lose. I'm very weak. Okay. So really quickly, we got Monterrey. They got a 4-0 win over Santos. Going through some of the other Liga MX results here. Rogelio Funes Mori with a hat trick. We also had the Clásico Joven over the weekend. A 0-0 draw between América and Cruz Azul. Not exactly the most exciting result there, unless if you're a big fan of VAR, which wasn't present. But I got it for you. Anything else that stood out to you from the Liga MX weekend before we move on to the CCL and wrap up the show?
I mean, I think we had a lot of action. You know, the Monterrey win. Obviously, Santos is in a crisis right now. There's a new coach. They call him the Uruguayan Guardiola. So I'm excited to see how he'll turn things around for Santos. Obviously, being eliminated from CCL, not doing great on the table. So it'll be interesting. I have to talk about Chivas because the whole Tomas Boy thing, I support him not being great, but I think it was just a poor decision. I think I would have kept just Coyote to the end of the season, or even kept Cardoso at this point to the rest of the end of the season, but it was just a very awful game. It just, Chofis was very unlucky. It was just bad. The Clásico Joven, I mean, I expected a draw. I didn't think I'd expect a boring draw. Herrera's whole excuse was like, we were tired from traveling. Monterrey traveled to Kansas and came back and still won. What's y'all's excuse? And you were in Mexico. But
Bioko's got plenty of excuses. So
yeah, it's true. And Cruz Azul, that me and Tom were talking about, Tom Harrison, we're talking about how Cruz Azul started kind of like they had Caute and Caraglio up top starting again versus America. It's like there's no effectivity. Why are you going to start them again? But anyway, very exciting weekend. So we'll see what happens this next weekend in Liga MX.
Yeah, especially because the playoffs are coming up. But that's always my favorite time. I don't know, because when I was a kid, I watched like Liga MX on and off. And when I'd watch a game, I'd like watch like 30 minutes and then lose patience and then like run away and be like, cool, dad, Chivas are cool. And then like run away and play like Pokemon or something like that. But one thing that did always like catch my attention was just the final week, because it always like fascinated me. I don't know, maybe because I was like a nerdy kid, but just like the final week where you would have like the live table. I don't know who had like the TV rights at that point in the US or whatever, but like it always, like one team would score and then like they'd move up and down like 8th place, 7th place. I was like, and that like thrilled me so much. Like I thought that was so cool, just to see all the teams like moving up and down that final week of the Liga MX regular season. So at this point, this is my favorite time of the season. It's just it's just like crunching those numbers, seeing what's possible, seeing what teams, because especially at this point in Liga MX season, because the seasons are so short, there's so much that's still possible. Teams like a Puebla or Toluca, they could still like potentially like have a decent finish the Liga MX regular season. Yeah. Teams that have been having a decent season so far, like a Pachuca or like a Cholos, they could easily be knocked out. So I'm always pretty excited about the end of the regular season. So we still have three match days left, or 3 weeks left, and it'll be interesting to be seeing what happens before the Liga. Yeah. Always a big fan of that. So let's wrap things up and let's talk about the CONCACAF Champions League. We're going to have a Clásico Regio final, Tigres versus Monterrey. First leg is on April 23rd. Second leg is on May 1st. And Cari, this question isn't on the rundown, but I just want to ask you this because I'm just kind of like, something that I just thought of like semi-recently, but just, would a CCL title mean more to Tigres or Monterrey?
Monterrey.
Yeah, okay.
Monterrey. I mean, Monterrey, I think it's that team that is always a contender, but always chokes. They always choke. I honestly, if you ask me, Tigres or Monterrey, I'm gonna go with Monterrey. I feel very confident in them this season. Especially, I don't know. I mean, they have so much debt on the bench, and Funes Mori, great. Pavon. I mean, you have all these players that just give you so much on the field, and I see them a little bit greater than Tigres.
Okay.
I do. So it's going to be good. Hopefully it's not boring. The good thing is that it's two legs. We've seen a couple of Clásico Regios have been kind of dull. You know, they both have been sitting back, not wanting to, you know, cause each other danger. So I'm hoping, since it's the title for CONCACAF, hopefully they'll actually play more. But yeah, I'm going with Monterrey winning the CCL.
I mean, honestly, I mean, I feel like we can look at so many stats. I think we can look at so many formations. I think we can look at so many players. But I think in the end, I think this match is still very, very close. I think it's going to be an extremely close match. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a very, very narrow win for one side over the other. Maybe even, I don't know. Maybe even go to extra time and like penalties. Although, I forgot about those exact regulations about the CCL, if it would go to extra time and then penalties. I don't know. It shows you so much about how much I actually care about the CCL sometimes.
Right.
But I don't know which team is truly the favorite here. I think it's be interesting to see what happens here. But I will say, actually, I think this matters a little bit more to Tigres. I think it matters a little bit more to Tuca for him to get this, you know, this international title, you know, because especially like, these two sides are always criticized a lot because, you know, they're not so many fans. And I hate talking about the whole equipo grande thing. She's like, oh, you're not a true big team. You're not a true big team. And I think these two sides get a lot of that. And especially, I think Tigres a little bit more just because of recent success they've had in Liga MX, you know, lifting those titles, because they've almost been building a little bit more of a dynasty in recent years when it comes to that success in the Liga MX. So I think there's a little bit more to lose for someone like Tigres, who still, I feel like that team still has a lot to prove. And I feel like there are a lot of, There are a lot of fans of a Chivas or an America if we want to like take it even further, or Pumas, or Cruz Azul, who still see Tigres and Monterrey as like small teams. But I feel like a lot of that has been thrown, to Tigres. So I think I think they have a little bit more to lose, and I think that maybe Tuca, who knows? I mean, it's tough to kind of try to predict his priorities, with a manager like that, but. Maybe a title like this, a title outside of Liga MX, will be very, very important for him. So maybe because of that, I'm going to say Tigres are going to win it. But honestly, I don't know. I feel like I could analyze the players, the previous matches forever, and I still wouldn't really feel confident choosing one over the other. But I guess if I have to choose one, I guess it's going to be Tigres. It's going to be Tigres for me. Yeah.
To me, comfortably, Monterrey wins.
Comfortably?
Yeah. CCL, they win CCL. It's their time now. I think they're really hungry for this. And I think another player that we've talked about, Pizarro, fundamental piece. And I think he said it, he's like, we're not scared. So
yeah, okay,
yeah. All right, Monterrey wins.
There we go. From kind of, although I think we're gonna have at least a couple more episodes before we find out who wins, because we got the first leg of the 23rd, second one on the first. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting when Tigres wins 7-0 on the 23rd, and then you jump back on the show and you'll be like, nope, Monterrey's still winning it. Don't you worry.
Don't you worry. You know me so well.
But I think that about wraps it up. I think it's like 8:20 right now. I think it's now fully an hour. I was trying to make it fully an hour, but obviously we could talk about a lot more. Obviously, we could go a little bit more into detail about Liga MX and Mexicans abroad, but there's always just so much to cover in Mexican soccer. There's just always so much that's going on in Mexico. We even talk about some of the players in MLS. There's so much to discuss when it comes to Fútbol Mexicano, but I want to thank you really quickly, Gary. I want to thank you, Amy. I think she's sending out I think she's live tweeting right now, so she's probably sending out my ramblings right now on Twitter right now. But Gary, many thanks to you, and also many thanks to everyone in chat, and we'll have you close out the show. So whatever you want to say, the floor is all yours, or the last segment of the show.
Okay, guys, thank you for joining us on Monday Night Football. Hopefully we have a great week in Liga MX in English. Let's all root for Porto during Champions League, and we'll see how the Veracruz story continues, the soap opera. So thanks again for watching, and stay tuned for next week for another show of the Mexican Soccer Show.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.